Reactor online. Sensors online. Weapons online. All systems nominal.
Hello, everyone. This is Carrie here with the Unicorn Company podcast. And today or tonight or whatever it is where you are, I would like to start off with the news. The biggest developments, of course, are the continuation of the Recognition Guide series, which is continuing as a way to keep ahead of the new Mercenaries Kickstarter and the Force Packs, which are coming out, as well as the release of a series of new Force Packs. These include the Hansen's Rough Riders, Eridani Light Horse, Northwind Highlanders, and Kellhounds. Each of these lances has a suggested retail of $29.99. The Rough Riders, Hounds, and Highlanders can all be found at FortressMiniaturesAndGames.com, though for $22.49, an awesome discount. The Eridani Light Horse at this time is only available through Barnes & Noble, and if I recall correctly, will eventually be sold through normal distribution channels to hobby stores, but I think it's like 6 months or something before it does. Also, we've seen a release of Dominions Divided, which covers the goings-on in the Federated Suns, Draconis Combine, and Ghost Bear Dominion. The new sourcebook for the Ilclan era answers a lot of questions for a region covering about half the old Comstar clock of the Inner Sphere, leaving the area around the Capcon as well as the status of the new Ilclan itself to be covered. Finally, we've seen the release of several new Ilclan Recognition Guides, bringing the series up to Volume 31. Are we at 32 now? Actually, we cover all of them in this episode. So keep an eye out on your YouTube on our YouTube channel for reviews of the new and awesome products. We've actually got a couple up already, and if you go through our Patreon, you actually get early access to those videos. So we should probably get into the subjects today. I want to start off with something a little bit lighthearted. Basically, I want to talk about building our community and introducing the game to new people. Last year, when I went to Southern Assault 2, I took one of my partners, and she accompanied me to the tournament. Overall, she was supportive and had a good time. She also was interested in going to the event next year, not as a spectator, though, but as a competitor. And it was then that we talked and determined that I would teach her to play Alpha Strike. The other day, after Valentine's Day, in fact, we had her first learning game. This was played at 200 points with just mechs from the Alpha Strike box set, all at skill 4, and with terrain from Death Ray Designs, which I will be doing a review. Actually, I've already put it out. I have a review of it on YouTube at the Unicorn Company podcast YouTube channel. But getting back to this, I'd forgotten what it was like to teach someone to play the game. And it was awesome. Seeing the gears turning, the learning through trial and error that I hadn't seen in years, and the excitement when she killed a warhawk with a locust was wonderful. That isn't to say I went easy on her. I didn't, and in fact, took advantage of any openings that she gave me. This was as much to show her the ins and outs of the game, and the weird things like how heat doesn't affect jumping, as much to show her things tactically and help her learn from her experiences. After the game, we had to talk about what happened on the table, what she could have done better, and what her strengths are. I was very proud of her, of what she did and how much she learned in that one game. It reminds me of times I used to teach the game, when I would show up at a game store before Alpha Strike was a thing, and I would run grinders, even going so far as to run ones where the winner would keep the box set that the grinder was being run with, which I ran a few times when I had the disposable income to do it. Experiences like this, and those I had at Historicon, where I ran a quick strike Battle of Chancellorsville in an Alpha Strike style event with two mechs per player. We were looking about 15 players. These are some of the things which made me feel so amazingly happy and wonderful when I would run games or a demo event. These days, I find myself doing events less and less, partially because of the distance it takes for me to get to my friendly local game stores, which are all about 2 hours from me. And also for other reasons, which I'm not going to go into today, but I think we need to cover again at some point or talk about. So keep your ears out for something about that. Changing gears, though, I want to take a look at several issues of the Recognition Guide series that we have yet to cover. And I think it's finally time to talk about them. This is going to take a little while. You're not going to get a mech tech this episode because, well, you'll see. So let's start at Rec Guide 28. The first entry we have here is the Whirlwind Scout Hover Tank Infantry Fighting Vehicle. That's a mouthful, right? The vehicle is 45 tons and moves 914. It has respectable 6.5 tons of armor and carries as its weapons a pair of light autocannon 2s backed up by a pair of ER medium lasers. It also has a Beagle active probe to detect hidden units as well as an infantry compartment capable of carrying 4 tons of infantry, which is the standard size of an Intersphere battle armor squad. This makes the Whirlwind an excellent infantry transport. Looking at it in Alpha Strike, the Whirlwind comes in at 30 points, capable of putting out 2 damage at short and medium range with 0 with an asterisk at long, and has armor and structure of 3 each with specials of Case, Infantry Transport 4, Probe, Recon, Surge, and Turret 220 asterisk. And movement of 16 inches, which should actually be 18 based off of its Battletech stats, with a TMM of 3, making it an effective harasser after it drops off its payload. Next up, we have the new Long Tom Mobile Artillery, along with its associated trailers for ammunition and loading. I'm not going to go into a lot of detail on this one, as it is generally not used often, and to be fair, isn't something you're going to see on the table often. The vehicle art is an excellent update to the original design from the TRO-3025. While the art in the book isn't bad, this new art brings it up to modern sensibilities. And my glazing over the Long Tom and its associated trailers might be a mistake, but I think when it comes out in plastic, it'll be used more as an objective piece as opposed to something active on the battlefield. After that, we have the Sturmfuhrer Heavy Tank, which is a monster of a vehicle. This is the fuel cell variant. This machine comes in at 85 tons and is protected by 16 tons of heavy ferrofibrous armor. The vehicle has a top speed of 6 movement and is armed with 2 Artemis IV enhanced LRM-20 launchers mounted in that turret. The vehicle also has 2 turret-mounted machine guns for anti-infantry work. In Alpha Strike, the Sturmfuhrer comes in at 47 points, is size 4 with a TMM of 1 and movement of 8 inches. The tank has 4 damage potential at all ranges with a beefy amount of armor at 11 and structure of 5. The vehicle has specials of Case, Fire Control, Indirect Fire 2, Search. I think it's Fire Control. I'll have to look that up. FC, Indirect Fire 2, Search, Turret, 222, and Indirect Fire 1. Maybe Fuel Cell is what the FC stands for, I think. Next, there's the Tin Star Battle Armor. These units are the creation of the Franck Reaches. I don't use, or to be fair, understand Battle Armor in Classic. In Alpha Strike, though, it's Battle Armor, size 1, with TMM of 1, movement of 6. Tin Star Battle Armor puts out 2 damage at short and medium range, with no long range. It has armor of 1, structure of 2, with specials of Anti-Mech, Cargo 4, and X-Mech. All this comes in at a cost of 14 points for a squad of 4, giving the Franck Reaches a basic but effective form of battle armor for forces which don't have many Omnimechs in its stable. After this, we have a visual update to the Skulker and the Warrior helicopter, as well as the Firestarter. Overall, the update of the 3 is very good, though the Firestarter is suffering from the effect of modernization, which makes many of the less unique-looking chassis start to blend in with each other more and more. The Spectre, Cicada, and Devastator also get upgrades visually. The Spectre and Cicada were probably in the most need of it, while the Devastator was more of something it just needed a resculpt, so it didn't look like it was about to fall on its face. While the art for it is updated to modern standards, I think the time and money could have been spent somewhere else on a design that needed it much more. You know, like the champion. I'm not letting that one go. Next, we have Recognition Guy 29. I apparently cannot talk today. The first vehicle here is the Browning Mobile Headquarters, giving the vehicle a name, much like the Carita variant did in another technical readout. I am not going to go into extensive detail on it, as once again, this is more of an objective piece as opposed to an active combat unit. Visually, the vehicle has an extensive upgrade in its presentation. The new incarnation of the Mobile Headquarters has a striking look, and if anything, only has one thing which looks awkward, being the main gun on top of the cab section, which is a bit oversized when compared to the rest of the vehicle. The next one we have is the Hetzer Wheeled Assault Gun, the vehicle which has a reputation of being an IKEA-style flat-packed tank, and it is still pretty simple. Visually, it looks a lot more modern, but loses a bit of the build-out of flat-packed parts feel that the original art has. As far as capabilities, the Hetzer has excellent movement of 5.8 due to its fuel cell-powered engine with 6.5 tons of armor and carries as a primary weapon a single front-mounted Ultra Autocannon 20. In Alpha Strike, the fuel cell variant of the Hetzer comes in at 22 points, a size 2 with a TMM of 2 and 10 movement. This variant of the Hetzer does 3 damage at short and medium ranges with no long-range capability. It has 3 armor and 2 structure, and has specials of fuel cell and search, which I'm sure FC means now. The Rec Guide has a new vehicle with the Urus Main Battle Tank. This is an omni vehicle, meaning it can have battle armor right on board, making it not only a powerful tank at 60 tons, but also a transport for armored infantry. The base chassis is 60 tons with a cruise of 5 and flank of 8, with 11.5 tons of ferro-lamellar armor, giving it excellent protection for its size. The baseline stats in Alpha Strike for the Urus put it as a combat vehicle. Its size 3 has a TMM of 2 and movement of 10 inches. It has base armor of 6 and structure of 3 with the abilities of crit resistant, search, and omni. In its primary configuration, it has a large pulse laser and a Gauss rifle mounted in the turret, giving it a powerful 1-2 punch. It also has a turret-mounted anti-missile system and a trio of machine guns linked to a machine gun array. The primary configuration is a sniper at 34 points with damage value of 3 at all ranges. For specials, it has anti-missile system, case, and turret 333 with AMS. The Alpha variant mounts an Ultra Autocannon 20 and 5 ER small lasers linked to an advanced targeting computer. It has enhanced mobility with a supercharger linked to the engine. This variant is a short-range monster with better ability to bring its weapons to bear. It comes in at 46 points with an increased movement of 12. Has damage capabilities of 7 at short and medium range with no long range abilities, and has the additional ability of turret 7-7-0. That's terrifying. Moves 12, throws out as much damage as a Madcat W. And comes in, I want to say, for 9 points less. Mind you, you don't have the durability of that Madcap, but that's still terrifying. The Bravo configuration carries a Hyper Assault Gauss Rifle 40 in its turret with 2 ER medium lasers as secondary weapons. An Alpha Strike has damage value of 5 short, 4 medium, and 3 long with added specials of FLAC 322 and turret 546. Flak 322, and comes in at a cost of 38 points. Charlie configuration of the Urus mounts in its turret a pair of advanced tactical missile 12 launchers, an improved heavy Gauss rifle, and 2 anti-personnel Gauss rifles, making it an exceptional platform with very good striking power. This configuration in Alpha Strike is 48 points, does 8 at short, 6 at medium, and 2 at long, making it a great brawler. It has case... Excuse me. It has case and turret 862 as its only additional abilities. Finally, we have the Delta configuration. This payload on the tank makes it something of a mixed range machine with an ERPPC allowing it to strike at range with a trio of Streak SRM6 launchers for short range engagements. The Delta and Alpha Strike cost 44 points with damage values of 6 at short and medium and 2 at long. Its only additional specials are Case and Turret 622, making it a good all-around beat stick. The Urus looks like it's going to be an excellent addition to the game, and especially for any Hell's Horses players that are out there listening. The next full entry we have is the Dragoon Battle Armor, which is based on the battle armor used in Mech Assault 2 by the player. Overall, the artwork transitions from this from the video game to the tabletop wonderfully. The standard Dragoon Battle Armor in a squad of 4 comes in at 15 points. It is made for short-range engagements. With 2 damage at short, it has 1 armor and 2 structure with specials of anti-mech, cargo 4, heat 1-0-0, and mech. We also have updated art for the Ontos, Firefly, and Assassin. The Ontos and Firefly modernize the designs in a way that makes them look pretty good, and the Assassin finally removes the ubiquitous odd top canopy for the sensors and electronic warfare equipment, which I'm sure had to be the work of Bishop Steiner, as it is one of his pet peeves when it would be painted up as the cockpit of the mech. I believe the saying is every time a... Every time an assassin gets a top cockpit, the urban mech gets its wings. So, there's also new art for the Dervish, Charger, and Sagittaire. The first two were definitely in need of the revision, and they both look great. The Sag wasn't really in as much of a need, in really wasn't in need of an update. It is welcome, though, as the metal one was apparently a bear to assemble. In the middle here, we find ourselves at Recognition Guide 30. The first entry in this volume is the Onuris Attack Vital, which was basically born from the concept of turning the Anhur into an Omni gunship. While it doesn't retain much of the look of the Anhur, it does have a significant amount of room for weapons and equipment. It uses an XL engine and has 14 tons of pod space, which is almost half the entire mass for operational payloads. The base configuration in Alpha Strike is combat vehicle, size 1, TMM4, movement of 20 VTOL, with armor of 3 and structure of 2. It has built-in specials of Atmo, Omni, Search, and RFA, which would be the reflective armor. The primary configuration of the Onuris comes with a plasma cannon and 4 SRM-6 launchers, making it a terror at short range. It has damage values of 4 at short medium with the ability of heat 111 case and SRM-3 for a whopping 43 points. That's a lot for a VTOL. But then again, you don't run into most VTOLs that have that much throwing power. Alpha configuration is built around an ERPPC and 4 anti-personnel Gauss rifles, making it especially deadly to infantry. In Alpha Strike, this transfers to 332 at short, medium, and long, respectively, with the special of ENE, though I think that might be incorrect, because I'm pretty sure the AP Gauss rifles can't explode, and it comes in at 37 points. Bravo configuration is a fire support unit with a pair of LRM-20 launchers. It is basic, but useful, and an Alpha Strike is 40 points, with damage value of 3 at all ranges, as well as specials of Case, LRM-222, and IF-2. Now, Charlie carries a single massive LB-20X autocannon, making it useful for light vehicle and VTOL hunting. Comes in at 29 points in Alpha Strike with damage values of 322, has flak 1-1, and case. I think the 2 at long range, though, might be a miscalculation. So that point value might be in error. The Delta configuration is made for close range engagements with 2 improved heavy medium lasers and 5 medium chemical lasers. This one in Alpha Strike is a flying Black Hawk with damage values of 550, and has no additional specials for 47 points. And lastly, we have the Echo, which is loaded up with a large pulse laser and an ATM-9 launcher. This configuration In Alpha Strike is 38 points, does 4-3-2, and has the added special of Case. Now after this, we get into the Pike support vehicle, LBX Edition, which is powered by a fuel cell engine. It can move up to 5 hexes at maximum speed and has 9.5 tons of armor. It's armed with 3 LB5X autocannons in its turret and a pair of SRM-2 launchers in the front of the hull for threats which get too close. In Alpha Strike, its combat value, combat vehicle, size 3, TMM of 1 with 6 inches of movement. It does 2 damage at short and medium with 1 at long and is protected with 6 armor and 3 structure. It has specials of Case, Fuel Cell, Flak 111, Search, and Turret 111, Flak 111 for 23 points. Overall, I would say in Alpha Strike, it's pretty underwhelming. While in Classic, though, it makes an excellent crit seeker and anti-air platform. Next up is the Hellcat, or Hellhound 2. Not to be confused with the Hellhound number 2, this is the Hellhound Roman numeral 2, which just means it's a new Hellhound. The art for this is based heavily on the Hellhound from MechWarrior Online and looks amazing. As for the mech itself, it's powered by a double extra light engine with speeds of up to 9 hexes and comes in at 50 tons. It's protected by 8.5 tons of armor and carries an impressive payload for its size and speed. It has an LB-10X autocannon in its right arm, an ER large laser in the left arm and in the right torso, as well as an SRM-6 launcher in the left torso. In Alpha Strike, this mech is Type Battle Mech, size 2, TMM-2, movement of 12. It does 4 damage at short and medium, 3 at long, no overheat value. It has 5 armor, 3 structure with specials of Case and Flak 111. Overall, I think this is an awesome port of the Hellhound from MechWarrior Online to the tabletop, and is a highly effective machine at first glance, if a little fragile. Next up is the Stormbird Battle Armor. It has a look that is reminiscent of the Salamander Battle Armor units, but has more of a bird-like profile to it. The one we'll be looking at for Alpha Strike is the Jade Falcon version, which is the one I think we'll be seeing more often in the fiction and for the universe in general, as I think the Falcons are going to take a lot of the spotlight in their appointment as the new Black Watch, and with the Capellan Confederation knocking on Terra's door. In Alpha Strike, it is Type Battle Armor, size 1, TMM-0, with movement of 4J. It does 3 damage at short and medium ranges, with 2 armor, 2 structure. And in a squad of 5, has specials of Cargo 5, Fire Resistant, and X-Mech, all coming in at 20 points, putting it in the range of suits like the Marauder Battle Armor. After that, Rec Guide 30 gives us visual updates of the missile carriers, which all seem to use the same base hull with a different turret mounted on them. It's a very good visual upgrade of the Vulcan that carries over much of the visual cues from the original art and the Whitworth, which I have to admit, I am not the most enthused about how it looks, but it did need an update. After that, there's the Hoplite, which is a good modernization of the original, as well as a very sexy Grizzly that I'm sure will make any Clan Ghost Bear players happy. And finally, an update to the Highlander 2C, which one could argue wasn't in need of a major revision artistically. Regardless, though, it is well done. Then we get into Rec Guide 31 with the Savannah Master as our first entry. Now, mind you, the miniature for the Savannah Master is not a bad model. I quite like it, actually. It has this big birdcage cockpit to it. Other than that, it's barely anything surrounding the pilot. So this iteration of it, it's upgraded with reflective armor, and the cockpit has a far more restrictive set of viewports, which I don't think I prefer. Performance-wise, it has a max speed of 20 hexes, and it is protected by 1.5 tons of reflective armor. When we look at this thing in Alpha Strike, it comes in as combat vehicle size 1 TMM of 4, move of 26 inches. Has damage values of 1 inch short and medium, with armor and structure of 1 each. While having specials of energy, reflective armor, which really isn't going to matter here, and searchlight, and comes in at 15 points, making it an excellent transport for battle armor with the X-Mech ability at a low cost. Next in this volume, we have the Harrier Hover Tank, re-engineered laser model. And this machine is pretty cool when you look at it as essentially a larger up-gun Savannah Master. It is 50 tons and protected by 4.5 tons of armor. For offensive capabilities, it carries a large re-engineered laser mounted on the front of the tank, backed up by a Streak SRM-6 launcher. For protection from its from units attempting to tail it, it does have a medium laser mounted to the rear. Looks-wise, I really like the direction they went with this one. I do believe this is brand new for the, for the universe. It's kind of getting retconned in. As far as how it performs in Alpha Strike, let's take a look at its stats. It's type combat vehicle, size 2, with a TMM of 4, with 20 movement. So, that's pretty impressive. It does 3 damage at short and medium ranges, with armor of 3 and structure of 2. The Harrier has specials of case, rear 1-1-0, re-engineered laser, and search. It has a cost of 35 points. While being an upgun Savannah Master in many ways, it would also make a good light hover tank hunter, as well as being something which could put some fear into players who enjoy using units with reflective armor. Next up, we have one of the most terrifying machines to grace the battlefields of the Inner Sphere, a Davian upgrade of the Behemoth Heavy Tank. This monster is essentially a rolling pillbox at a massive 100 tons and a top speed of only 3 hexes in a turn. This incarnation of the Behemoth is protected by 11 tons of heavy ferrofibrous armor and is armed to the teeth. Its primary weapons are a pair of Gauss rifles mounted in the turret, which are joined by a pair of Streak SRM-6 launchers. On the front of the tank, it mounts 2 ER medium lasers, 2 SRM-2 launchers, and a pair of rocket launcher 10s. It also has a pair of side sponsons, which each mount a magshot Gauss rifle and a SRM-2 launcher. Of course, it is protected by the case in the event of an ammunition explosion. In Alpha Strike, this new version of the Behemoth costs 45 points and has base stats of 7 at short, 8 at medium, and 4 at long, giving it the most potency in the range bracket it will most likely engage in. It has armor of 7 and structure of 5 with specials of case, search, and turret. Overall, the unit itself and the look of the tank are very good and keep in line with the new aesthetic, though I would enjoy the tank having Gauss rifles that don't look like repurposed Madcap Mark II arms. The next unit we have in this volume is the Castillo Battle Armor. This is essentially a modernization of the Elemental Battle Armor, concurrently designed and implemented by Clans Wolf and Ghost Bear. The design is essentially an omni-elemental with different loadouts depending on mission. It does lose the ability to jump and has less armor. I believe personally that it makes the design less capable than its predecessor. Aesthetically, it is essentially an elemental without a missile pack and has some smoother lines. Looking at what I feel will be the most common variant in Alpha Strike, the MRR variant, which is functionally identical to the SRM variant. As a 5-man team, it comes in at 17 points and is type battle armor, size 1, TMM of 1, with movement of 6 foot. It does 3 damage at short and medium ranges with armor and structure of 1 and 2 respectively, and has specials of anti-mech, cargo 5, and mech. Like I mentioned, the SRM variant is functionally identical in Alpha Strike, and the two of them are pretty much interchangeable. As far as its effectiveness, though, I don't know. Once again, it's kind of Marauder-like. I don't know how else to put that. But it's not amazing. After that, we get some upgrades as far as art for several more units. The first is the MASH truck, which is well done, and I am totally getting some MechWarrior Dark Age vibes from the way they designed it. Next, we have the Manticore, which brings the design in line with the newer models while retaining a lot of what made the Manticore visually distinct. And the first mech that gets a visual upgrade in this one is the Javelin. And other than bringing a lot of the lines into a more modern look, it doesn't actually change too much about the design. After that's the Clint, which once again suffers from the looks a lot like an Enforcer thing that I've noticed with a lot of the new medium mech designs. After that, we have two designs which definitely need an upgraded look. The first of these being the Shogun, which still retains the pot belly of the old design, but it is done in a way that makes the design look more military, I guess. And the next one is the Pillager, which adds some much needed surface variation and greebling to the design while retaining the feel of the original. Now, in what we have been told will be the last of the installment of the recognition guides, we start off with the J. Edgar Hover Tank. This one being a variant that is armed with an X-Pulse laser. This model carries it in its turret. As its primary weapon, a medium X-Pulse laser with a pair of SRM-2 launchers in that turret. The new artwork for the older and venerable design is done very well, and I have to admit, this is a far better looking version than the original. As far as the performance of the design, where I'd normally look as far as an Alpha Strike, J. Edgar X-Pulse variant is a combat vehicle, size 1, TMM of 4, movement of 22 inches, with damage values of 2 at short and medium, with armor of 4 and structure of 2. It has specials of search and turret 2-2-0 for a cost of 32 points, making it an excellent harasser. Next we have the Drilson tank, the Drilson heavy hover tank multi-missile launcher variant. It's a lot. The Drilson can move up to 12 hexes in BattleTech and is protected by 5.5 tons of armor. The vehicle is armed with a large pulse laser and a pair of Streak SRM-2 launchers in its turret with a pair of multi-missile 5 launchers and a pair of machine guns in the front. Art-wise, to be fair, the design reminds me a lot of the Lee tank from early World War II, with the way the MML launchers are mounted on the body and the commander's cupola is kind of off to the side of that. I kind of like it. It's really, I don't want to say it's retro-y, but it's hard to explain. I have a thing for World War II tanks. So, anyway. The Drilson is a combat vehicle with target move modifier of 3, move 16, hover. Damage values of 4 at short, 3 at medium, 1 at long. For armor, it has 4 with structure of 3 and specials of case, indirect fire 1, searchlight, and turret 2-2-0 for 37 points. Overall, an excellent design, though it can be lackluster when compared to similar units in Alpha Strike as far as points. Next up, we have the Von Luckner VNLK85N. This variant of the Venerable Tank is 75 tons and has a top speed of 5 hexes in Classic. The tank is protected by a staggering 22 tons of hardened armor, making it very durable. It is armed with an LV-20X autocannon as its main gun in the turret with a pair of SRM-6 launchers and an improved single-shot SRM-4 launcher, along with a machine gun to round out the turret weapons. It does carry a flamer in the front of the hull for anti-infantry work, with a 10-tube medium-range missile launcher on the rear. In Alpha Strike, it is type combat vehicle, size 3 with a target move of 1 and movement of 6 inches tracked. Does 3 damage at short and medium range. It has a massive amount of armor, though, with 12 armor and 4 structure. For specials, it is a toolbox with crit resistant, flak 110, rear 110, searchlight, SRM 11, turret 330, flak 110, SRM 11. It's a beautiful redesign, and it is a massive toolbox in Alpha Strike. After that, we get into the Shrek PPC Carrier XL variant. This vehicle is an extremely simple upgrade of the design. The vehicle uses an extra light engine to give it speeds of up to 6 hexes in Classic with 7 tons of armor and a simple armament of 3 PPCs in the turret, making it a pocket awesome. The Shrek redesign is a wonderful upgrade of the vehicle and looks absolutely amazing. In Alpha Strike, the Shrek is type combat vehicle, size 4 with a target move of 1, movement of 8 tracked. It does 3 damage at all ranges and has armor of 5 with structure of 4. For specials, it has ENE, Search, and Turret 333, making it equally threatening in all directions. Next, we have the first mech of this rec guide, the VP-1 Viper. This mech is the one used for the outline of the damage sheet in the original old-school Classic record sheets. The VP-1 is essentially a new design, though, coming in at 70 tons with a 280XL engine, giving it a speed of 4 walk and 6 run with 4 jump jets, giving it a jump distance of up to 120 meters. It's protected with 14 tons of armor and carries its primary weapons, a pair of arm-mounted binary laser cannons, or blazers, mounting one in each arm. These are backed up by a pair of side torso-mounted medium pulse lasers, with a third mounted in the rear of the center torso. I like the art for this. It has a little bit of Crusader, but a little bit of a 3025 bug mech aesthetic to it in its head. In Alpha Strike, the Viper is a decent heavy energy boat. It's type battle mech, size 3, TMM of 1, and movement of 8 jump. Has damage values of 4 at short and medium with no long or overheat. In protection, it has 7 armor, 3 structure, has specials of ENE and rear 110, making it a very simple mech with not a lot of bells and whistles to worry about. This whole mech comes in at a point cost of 34. The next mech we have is the Blood Asp. For those of you who are unfamiliar with it, the Blood Asp has a few miniatures which have been made. And as it is... So the art for the Blood Asp is not very bad. I mean, it's not the greatest. The legs were a little weird. And that was as it was presented in Tech Readout 3060. Though the update is well done and quite frankly brings it up to a modern standard, as well as the upgrade, as well as an upgrade which helps to make the legs and overall lines of look of the legs and overall lines of the mech look much better. And a lot more like we saw in games like Mech Commander and Mech Assault. I'm not going to go into all the variants which are presented, as there are a lot of weapons and equipment on each chassis. But I want to take a look at the Alpha Strike versions of each of these. First of all, these will all be type battle mech, size 4, TMM of 1, movement of 8, with armor of 9, structure of 5, with some exceptions. The E variant is the first of these and adds jump to its movement profile. It has damage value of 7 at short, 6 at medium, and 5 at long with an overheat of 1, and has specials of Case and Omni for a cost of 54 points. Next up is the F with damage values of 7 at short and medium and 3 at long. It has an overheat value of 3, allowing it to put out up to 10 damage in a single turn. Yeah. That's nuts. For specials, this variant has Case, Heat, 111, and Omni, giving it control abilities when engaging the enemy, and comes in at a cost of 56. Then we have the G variant, which comes in at 54. It has damage values of 6 at short and medium ranges, 5 at long, with 3 overheat, making it once again a massive beat stick, with specials of Case, Flak 223, and Omni, making it a powerful anti-air platform as well. After that, we have the I variant, which is terrifying for units with reflective armor. It has damage values of 6 at short, 7 at medium, 3 at long, no overheat, and specials of Case, Omni, and re-engineered laser, coming in at 52 points. What is it, the Wolfen that should be watching out for that? And then finally, we have the T. The T variant adds some speed to the design, giving it a TMM of 2 and a movement of 10. It has damage values of 6 at short and medium with 2 at long and an overheat of 2. And specials of Case 2, Heat 110, and Omni. The combination of speed and Case plus the armor that it already has makes it incredibly durable. Case 2. It also has a very consistent damage output, and in my mind is something that might stand in for one of my go-to designs in Alpha Strike, the Mad Cat W. Next, we have a redesign of the Inner Sphere Battle Armor, which apparently has been quite divisive between those who love it and hate it. Then there is the redesign of the Vedette, which I feel makes it look much more reasonable than its past iterations. And an update of the Jägermech, which doesn't change it too much except to make it look far more modern than the old ones. Oh my god, that was a lot to cover. So now you understand why, you know, why there's not a mech tech. Because we essentially just had one massive episode of a mech tech. That covers the last of the recognition guides. Supposedly, these are supposed to be the last of the recognition guides. We will see. I do look forward to going over the Dominion's Divided source book. I really have not had time to read through it. I have a chaotic life. So, yeah. Also, I've done a number of reviews recently, and I'm trying to release these every Wednesday on the YouTube channel. The reviews are mainly made possible through our sponsors, Fortress Miniatures and Games, our sponsor. I would highly advise you to check them out. Fortress has everything you could possibly want for both Classic and Alpha Strike. So go ahead and, you know, take a look at their website. It's fortressminiaturesandgames.com. Also, if you would like to help support the podcast, I would ask you to go to our Patreon and join. I am working on being able to have early releases of product reviews there and have various other benefits. And you can find that at patreon.com/unicorncompany. Thank you so much for joining me today. I hope that all of you have a wonderful day, evening, or whatever it is where you are. This is Carrie, signing off. I'm gonna find my meaning, I can make a change, I wanna play the game.